If you would get your Bibles, we're getting ready to go into the Word this morning. And I got to tell you that this message that I'm going to preach to you today is a message that I had preached for somebody else. But yesterday, one of the deacons brought something to my remembrance and said, "Pastor, do you not remember what you said and one of your messages?" And I said, "Which one?" And he remembered that message, Deacon Glenn. And he said, "That message that you preach for them is for us now." And so as I went home to look it up again, the message, I realized that I'm talking to me. God, you had me write this for somebody else at another time, but you got to know that sometimes it's going to come back for you. Yes. Amen. You better know and believe what you're preaching. Yes. Because at some point, you're going to experience what you're preaching and teaching. Amen. So when you preach it, you better know. You better know and believe what you say. Because as I began to read over this message again, I began to understand what the message really meant. It was all right to preach it for them, but now I'm preaching it for us. Hallelujah. And I'm praising God because I believe everything that's in here. I believe everything. I believe everything. So I'm preaching to me today. Tell somebody she's preaching to her. And to life-changing ministry. Amen. Life-changing. This is our message today. Would you turn your Bibles to Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10. Amen. Amen. Yeah, somebody's getting it already. Somebody already in there already. Somebody already hear this word. Hallelujah. Elder Harrison, would you read this? You know what? No, don't you read it. I'm going to read it. I hear God saying, "You read it." Because I'm talking to you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing." Hallelujah. You got to know that you got a clean heart now to hear this. And you got to know that you haven't been deceitful in your ways to get this right here. You can't holler hallelujah until you got this right here inside of you. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, even Jacob. And verse number 7. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." Your Bible might say shall, but mine said will. my Bible said will come in. Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? Hallelujah. I think I'm preaching already through the scripture right now. Hallelujah. Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Yea, lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? Ah, the Lord, Jehovah of hosts. He is the King of glory. Tell somebody, he is the King of glory. Tell your neighbor, lift up your head. I don't care what's happening, you lift it up. Because there's a King of glory that's waiting to come in to work it out for you. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe that he is the Lord? Glory to God. Yes, sir. He is. You got to know when you read this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today. Chosen for his glory. My setback is God's glory. Tell somebody, I might have a little setback. I might be having a little setback right now. But tell somebody, his glory is going to shine from this one. You better tell somebody. We getting ready to bless somebody. We getting ready to bless a whole community. We getting ready to bless. God's getting ready to get glory. Tell somebody, it's just a little setback. But tell somebody, it is a setup. Oh, tell somebody, it's a setup. Hallelujah. It's a wake-up call. Tell somebody, this is a wake-up call for us. Glory to God. You can be seated if you can. You can if you can. If you can, you can be seated. Hallelujah, God. Hey, God, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. This message today, it is a wake-up call. It's a call to everybody that's watching where we are right now. They're watching. Tell somebody it's a wake-up call for life-changing church. We got to understand that when you celebrate something you've been through to get to where you're going. Am I right about it? So if you're going through right now, you ought to start getting happy in your soul, because the Lord spoke the other night and said that your sadness is going to come before your joy. You might be sad right now, but joy is coming in the morning. Tell somebody, get your dancing shoes on, because God is getting ready to bring you out of a situation that you're going to dance. You thought you were dancing. You haven't danced yet. You haven't danced yet. You wait till you see what God really does. You wait. I think I'm going to go get me a new pair of flat shoes, because I believe I'm going to dance. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 This subject today is gonna speak volumes to the chosen ones. Not the went ones, but the chosen ones. Those that have been chosen by God for his kingdom assignment. You're going to go through. And being chosen is not always peaches and cream. Because after all, we are all chosen for God's glory. And this really should make us proud. We recognize that our only purpose in life is for God to get glory from what we do. Do you understand that this morning? And oh, if only we believe that, that everything we do is only for God to get the glory. Oh, but there are those who don't believe that. They believe that they're operating solely for recognition. It's not for God to get the glory. It's only when I'm up front. I heard the man say yesterday, he said, only when you're up front are you feeling that you are doing something good. But what about behind the scenes? What about those who are working behind the scenes? Don't you know they're chosen too? They're chosen. Hallelujah. There are those who can only preach to 200 people. They can't preach to 20. There are those who can't go to the little church in the back in the booth in the dark. They can only go to the one that's on the main drag. And so the two most powerful words in this message today are chosen and glory. Chosen and glory. God's glory reflects beauty. It reflects power and it reflects honor. It emphasizes God's perfection, his greatness, and his authority. But in this powerful Psalm 24, we observe that God is the owner of everything. Yeah, he's the owner of everything, even you. Yes, tell your neighbor, even you. Yeah. He owns you too. Yes. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's, the world and they that dwell therein. The whole world belongs to him. This declaration places you and I in a position of servanthood. So once you know that you belong to him, you have an obligation to serve him. Am I right about it? And we are called to be managers. We are called to be administrators and caretakers of that which God owns. That even means you. You are called to take care of yourself because God owns you. Do you understand me? There are things that we do with our bodies, things we put in our bodies that we shouldn't do because God owns this body. And he has us there to take care of this body. This is only a house right now. Don't you know this is just for you to get around to do his work? Hallelujah. But it's your spirit he wants. We must be committed to the proper management of the world and its resources. But we are not to become devoted to anything created and forget about the Creator. Unfortunately, we have too many of us who dwell on what has been created instead of the person who did create it. Therefore, we must make sure that we're serving the Lord and not the world. For the world will pass away, but the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In fact, his word is everlasting. His love is everlasting. And his faithfulness is everlasting. And yes, his glory is everlasting. Hallelujah. And to be chosen for his glory, it is an awesome undertaking. But it comes with a price. The psalmist backs up this claim when he raises the question. He says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And the answer is given. He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord. This is what the psalmist is saying, and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. So what is the psalmist saying? He is saying, as the chosen, that God values honesty. You see, honesty comes easily, especially when complete truthness could cost us something, make us comfortable, uncomfortable, or put us in an unfavorable light. As one who is chosen, I need to tell you that without honesty, a relationship with God is impossible. And the first thing is you must be honest with yourself. You can fool some people some of the time, but you sure can't fool yourself. I spoke yesterday and I talked about, am I who I think I am? And in that word, I said, when you look in the mirror, do you really see who you think you are? Am I right about that? Only you know if you are who you say you are. And that is to say, if we lie to others, we will begin to deceive ourselves. And some folk can lie about themselves so long that they begin to believe they're right. They can keep lying and deceiving themselves and start saying that this is right because, and making excuses for what they do. But you've deceived yourself so much until you've been turned over to a reprobate mind that when you get ready to do wrong, you don't recognize it as wrong. Tell somebody, oh God, I hope that's not me. Glory. God cannot hear us or speak to us if we are building a wall of self-deception. If you're deceiving yourself, God can't speak to you because you don't think what he's saying is the truth. But when you can admit to yourself, yeah, I messed up. I'm a little wretch undone. Now, God, I need you to come in and fix me. Don't be looking at nobody else. You need to look at you. And if you can fix you, that's why so many people run from church to church. Because they're trying to get somebody else fixed when the problem is them. In our chosenness, we must concentrate on God's glory. You see, glory is that divine quality of God that is beyond man's understanding. Nobody really understands his glory. We can talk about it, but we really don't understand his glory. It is so powerful. It is so powerful that the word of God says we all fall short of it. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Nobody has room to finger point. Nobody has room to judge until they get before the Almighty Judge. He's going to be the one to do all the judging. And so God is a forgiving God and a restoring God. So who are we to judge anybody? Am I right about that? So in this new assignment, someone is going to look for perfection in us, in you. When God gives you a new assignment, folk want to bring you down and say you're not who you say you are. They want to say that God didn't give you that new assignment. God didn't make you a new bishop. God didn't make you an apostle. God didn't make you an overseer. God didn't give you the job of a minister. They want to bring you down in your new assignment. That's because the devil is trying to make you turn back. But if you know that God said it, you ought to stand on the word of God. Hallelujah. First of all, I ain't worrying about nobody else's vote because I'm not running for no public offices. The only thing I'm running for is God. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. And if anybody asks you, what's the matter with Dottie? What's going on with her? You just tell them she's running for her life. Hallelujah. You don't have to be perfect, but you need to know that you do serve a perfect God. Hallelujah. And a God, he can take imperfections and make them perfect. He can take my imperfections and make them perfect, Elder. Ask me how I know. Because he's already taken some. He's already taken some old imperfections that I had, and he turned it around. And I look at myself and I really like me now. though some years ago, I didn't like some of me. I didn't like some of the stuff I said. I didn't like some of the stuff I did to other folk. But now that God has turned me around, now that he took my imperfection and made me more perfect in some ways, I still got a long way to go. But I'm not what I used to be. You ought to be glad you're not what you used to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where you are right now may very well determine your growth within you. Where you are right now, when are you going to grow up from that? We're going to see a new you. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see what God does with some of you in here. Some of you looking at me right now kind of strange. But one day, you're going to say, I understand when somebody walks up to you and say, good morning, Bishop. There's some bishops sitting in here now. When somebody walks up and say, good morning, overseer. There's some overseers sitting in here right now. When God gets through with you, hallelujah, you're going to come through as pure gold. I didn't make it up. I didn't make that up. But when God gets through with you, you're going to come through like pure gold. Hallelujah. God knows when and what time to change your direction. He knows when and he knows where. When it's time to change your direction, can't nobody stop it. You can't stop that when God gets ready to do it. Because your mind and your head is just doing what the Lord said do. In Deuteronomy, the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse, God spoke to Moses. And he said, and this is for us life changing. He said to Moses, he said, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. So when God says move, you got to move. The problem with us is when God speaks, we want to hold on to what's comfortable. We want to stay there because we understand it. We want to stay there because we're familiar with it. We want to stay there because it's what we think where we should be. But God is saying, you've been there too long. That's why you're not feeling the power anymore. That's why you're not feeling the Holy Spirit anymore. You've been still holding on to some stuff too long. You've been there too long. You ought to get up and move away from that. You ought to try something new. You ought to try reading your Bibles in the morning. You ought to try to pray in the morning. You ought to try to fast and pray. You've been there too long. Then we want to blame the preacher. And you want to blame the pastor. Then you want to blame the choir. I don't want to sing in the choir because they ain't saying nothing. Why don't you bring something to the choir? You want to blame the pastor. All the pastor can do is preach it. You need to grab a hold to it. You've been there too long. Saying you've been there too long. I need you to get up and move now. I need you to get up and move. I was blessed the other day when I was looking at BET, when we had on there the young man that sings, I can't remember. Who? Donnie McClurkin. He was having a conversation with Bishop, and as they were talking, the bishop said, the reason why our faith don't work for us is because you don't get up and move. That blessed me, because many of us say we got that faith, but until you get up and start packing, you say, I believe he gave me that new house. I believe he gave me that new apartment. But until you literally go out and get some boxes and start putting stuff in the boxes, are you waiting for the phone call to say that you got it, that you got it, that you got it, that you got it?